Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello and welcome to the Man Repost Weekend Review Show. Do not adjust your volume, you are hearing it right. I'm your host, Ali, back from a little sabbatical while Dave, I assume, is watching the football. So he might wish he was probably here at the moment, but we'll see that find up. Joining me tonight is back to the original trio from when I took over, Carl and Simon. How are we, gents?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm tremendous. It's good to be back.
I'm good also. How are you? Good to have you back.
Yeah, we'll see if you're still saying that when we talk about your games. And
Yeah.
Well, this really is back to when you were hosting when we were both shit.
Oh God, I know.
Oh, we've come a long way, boys. We've come a long way.
We haven't.
Okay, fair. I will apologise to Ross now because no doubt with me being back, there'll be a few tangents, and this might go longer than he planned. But at least there's no quiz to deal with. Yous will both be pleased to know.
Oh, very pleased.
Just wait till the next time. Right, let's just get straight into football. Let's get Carl's biggest misery out of the way. Premier League opened up with Man United 2, Everton 0, Carl. Talk us through it.
I mean, what can I literally say about this match? I text our WhatsApp group this line and I will stick by it. We got beat by them, but fuck me, United are crap. And I'm not even joking, they're really bad.
It's like what I said a couple of weeks ago when we played them.
They're dreadful. They've got no idea how to play. They're playing Everton. As I've said numerous times, it's like beating up a tramp. but they were playing out from the back and we were pressing them and they continuously passed us the ball. If we had someone with an iota of an eye for goal, we could have been 3, 4, 5 up before they even started. But it's Everton, and we haven't, and we've got Beto falling over himself, not scoring. They got two pens, both penalties, both absolutely brain-dead decisions by our defenders. And the game's done. I'm struggling to find positives at the minute, to be honest. I mean, the last time I was on here, it was a while ago. But I said we were a lot more compact and a lot more, a bit more disciplined at the back, and it just went back to Lampard days with just defenders just doing what the fuck he wanted. It's so predictable. It's toothless. It's just not good to watch. 23 attempts on goal, 23 away from home at Old Trafford, and we can't score. I mean, it's an ongoing joke now because we literally can't put the ball in the net. Imagine if we put two of them in, we might have actually won the game because they wouldn't have got them pens. They would have folded like a deck chair if we would have scored. I could name some names that play in our team who shouldn't be anywhere near the Premier League, let alone Everton. I'm looking at you, Jack Harrison. How is he a football player? I am dumbfounded that someone said, yeah, he's a football player. I've never known someone to be so fucking brain dead and just get away with it every week and play every week. Decore, brain dead. Beto, becoming a cult hero, can't score. McNeil, don't know what's going on with him. That I could be here all day, and I think it's coming across now because these players just aren't good enough. Dyche has tried to do what he's tried to do, and it's just not working. We haven't won in 10 Premier. Well, I think is it 10 or 11 now? 10 Premier League games. It's not good enough. If this was any other season, let's call a spade, Dyche should be gone. And I'm not saying I want him gone, but it's that much of a basket case of a club. I don't even think someone's got the authority to sack him. and all the money. It's an absolute disgrace how bad we've got. I'm looking at our fixtures and I'm struggling to see where our goal comes from, let alone the next win. It's a bad state of affairs at the minute, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I've only seen highlights of this. I mean, the performance from the highlights doesn't seem so bad. Obviously, the highlights are completely different from what you'll have seen. But the key point, obviously, that you picked up is it's just the not scoring goals, and the chances are there. And some of them are very glaring.
Yeah.
I mean, Si, what was your... How much have you seen the new highlights, or have you seen in the door?
Yeah, I saw the highlights on Match of the Day. It is, as Carl said, it's the goal scoring. You know, when I remember right back, I mean, it was like the second game of the season when Villa played Everton, and yeah, I was watching thinking I can't see where any goals are coming from, but they were so like open that day. And to be fair to Dyke, I mean, as you say, like you've got more discipline in terms of, I think you've got some like the fourth or fifth best defensive records in terms of goals conceded. But the problem is, as you've said, and you've kind of said all season, it's the lack of goals. And the point you made, Ali, about some of the glaring chances, and again, when we played them the week at your place, the Calvert-Lewin one, when he goes through one-on-one and he's got the whole half to himself to run through, and at no stage did I ever think he's going to score like when he was running through there. And after that game, like, I kind of thought to myself, if Sean Dyche was manager of my club, something would have gone wrong. And I don't, that sounds like I'm being like really mean or disrespectful to Everton. I'm not, but he's the type of manager you want when you've got a limited group of players and he'll just make it a dog of a game and hard to beat. But at some stage, you're going to have to start trying to get goals and not relying on set pieces. And I think he will stay up, but it depends, obviously, on if there's any more points deductions coming. Like, until we know exactly what's going on with that, it's difficult to make an assessment. I just kind of trust Dyche to do Dyche things. It's not going to be pretty or fun to watch at all. It'll probably do the job, but at least at Burnley, they're not by any means the greatest players in the world, but Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes would get you between 7 to 11 goals each season.
Yeah,
there's no one at Everton that's going to get that.
The thing is, as well, like I mentioned, the style of play before we started recording, it's actually not as Dyche-esque as you'd think. We do actually attempt to play football. I mean,
was it West Ham you played last weekend?
Yeah.
And like, how? But you should. There's not.
How did we even lose
that game? But that comes back to what we're saying. You know, the whole crux of the issue with Everton is there's just no one to sit the ball in the back of the net. You've said, so, you know, it's been what 10 games or something in the league since you've won. So like, there's been at least 4 or 5 occasions where I've watched Match of the Day, and I kind of thought, God, they've created a decent number of chances here.
And that West Ham game, I'm sorry to pinpoint him again, but he just really winds me up. Jack Harrison was through on goal, stops, and waits for 3 West Ham players to come around him, and then shoots. I mean, I think another thing is glaringly obvious is we've got so many players out of form and so low of confidence all at the same time. Tokore, Harrison, McNeil, Beto, Calvert-Lewin. There's 5 of our players. Onana, when he can be asked. There's like 6 of our players who are completely out of form. And we haven't, like we've touched on, we have not got a squad. We've got a borderline mediocre starting 11. Do you know what I mean? And we haven't got superstars. We've just got a gang, not even a gang of dogs. We can't even get that right. It's just, as you can tell, I'm just at a complete miss with it all, to be honest. It's a good job we won them 4 games when we got the 10-point deduction, to be honest.
As you say as well, like with this game in particular, like it's definitely not helpful making challenges like the ones you did for the penalties. Like, just fucking stupid, weren't they?
I mean, Garnacho's going nowhere else but where he's going for Tarkos. He shows him to the left. Where's he going to show him to next? The right. And Tarkos, he just watches him and he's like hypnotised and just kicks him. I'm like, what are you doing? Show him down the other side.
Yeah.
And then Godfrey, just, I don't know what the hell Godfrey's doing, to be honest.
And that's just blind panic at a quick counter-attack, isn't it?
Yeah, he just completely fucking takes him out, don't you know what I mean? And there's literally no arguments about the pen, which is even worse. But, they're crap.
Oh, they're all... I think I heard something after this game. In their Man U's last six games, they faced 136 shots, yet they've somehow won, like, four of those six games.
It's just barmy. The only one who looked half competent was that Varane. Varane was played well, to be fair to the rest.
Yeah, you'd expect that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would, like, Varane, French World Cup winner, Champions League winner, etc., etc. I don't think Casemiro touched the ball, though, to be fair.
His legs have gone.
Yeah, he is done. But, I mean, there's... Everton don't play for 3 weeks, so I'll fucking lose you.
Enjoy the break. But piggybacking off what Simon said on you guys, from the highlight package that you're seeing, as you say, Everton looked like the better team in that Man United game from the highlight package.
They were the best team.
And again, against a team like United are just... They're like an enigma. I'm not even sure it's real anymore. Like, I swear they've been shit for five seasons.
They have.
Top six, top seven. Like, where are they just now? Are they four?
No, they're six.
Six. Like, but how are they even high? That high? They are. They're genuinely. To me, they're on par with Chelsea when I watch them.
Yeah, I'd say Chelsea were slightly better, to be honest.
I don't get it. But they keep doing it. But it'll be interesting to see. The next four games that I was looking at for you guys there, Carl, which is Bournemouth, Newcastle, Burnley, and then Chelsea.
Loss.
Oh no.
Win, loss.
Like, if you could take a draw in either the Burnley, well, probably a draw in the Bournemouth game, and then beat Burnley.
We'll beat Burnley.
Yeah,
touch wood.
The games you need to win are always the three below you, or the first four below you, technically, with Forest. But yeah, I've no worry about you going down at all. I know you will, and you always will. Doesn't matter. Like, you could be 4 points clear with a game to go, and you'll still worry.
I know. I'm just done with them.
I mean, as I said, my big question mark is what, if any, or how many points they may still get taken off them. Assuming that there's like if there was no possible points deduction coming, then I'd be with you, Ali. I'd say I've got no fear worries about them going, but you just don't know what's going to happen with this charge.
I can't see them taking points off us again.
Even if they get another one, it's only really going to be going to be the 4 points that they got back. Or at worst, it's going to be six. And even at six, I just don't see the teams below them gaining that many points. And if
Forest will get a big one as well.
Forest are going to get, even if they only get 46 as well, it's still enough to keep them below.
I think if you got a 6-point deduction, which would put you 2 points behind Luton, then I think you could be in trouble.
I think we go down.
I think it would be close.
I can't see them get giving us another six. I can't. I mean, I might be wrong. But
I just think they're going to get... There's a reason they've took 4 points off you. I think they're going to give... If you're going to get points, they're going to give you...
Yeah, I think they'll probably put them back.
I heard Dave talking about it last week about how they're not wanting to put a point. I think Dave or Chris mentioned it. And the logic makes sense, and I think actually, it's why would they randomly? Why would it be four and not like five and half it? Or
I don't know. I do get what you mean. Like,
but I mean, well, we won't. I say hopefully, slightly. We'll see. As you say, to get 2 point deductions, maybe if they just see the club are trying to go the right way and.
Well, the Premier League, the clubs, they had a meeting today to where they'll be changing the rules on the PSL to be implemented this summer.
Don't you think that's slightly hypocritical?
Yeah, but I think that could work in your favour then. If they're going to be changing the rules, then they may go, we can't be knackering, can't be doing can't them be doing something that we're getting rid of.
Yeah.
So on the, were you on last week, Simon?
I can't remember.
Yes, Carl and...
Yes, I was.
So when Dave and Chris were discussing the point deduction, I'm sure that was last week's episode, am I being really harsh by saying, see if you're found proper guilty of just automatic relegation?
Bit harsh, like.
It's harsh, but it's cheating.
It depends what level. Like, if you what were Everton? Something like 20 million over.
20 million over, yeah. Well, 19.5 or something.
So if you got a club that was, say, maybe only 5 million over, and then you had another club that was like 50 million over. Yeah. You can't have the same punishment for all three, can you?
Well, see, a borderline disagree, right? So let's look at and let's just take it in fighting status, right? And a guy's 1 milligram of steroids over 20 milligram.
I get your point on that. Yeah.
Let's say Luton, right? So say Luton get relegated over it. But it's okay because they only Everton say, just I'm going to use Everton because you're here, Carl, right? But Everton only spent 5 million over.
Yeah.
Say City went 100 million over. But any point deduction you get, it's not going to make a difference to them.
Yeah. I mean, like, so I don't know if you've heard, so there's some of the parts that we've done, Carl, when we've been talking about this when you've been not on. And I kind of, my viewpoint on it all was that I think the rules are a joke in the first place.
Oh, they are, yeah.
Like, they shouldn't, the whole FFP PSR thing is nonsense to keep the top clubs at the top.
Yeah.
However, where I was sort of coming from maybe like a devil's advocate point of view, is that if you're going to have these rules in place, there needs to be a strong deterrent, which is why I kind of was, I didn't think the 10 points was overly harsh, because like for my example was, if you looked at Wolves last summer, they had to sell 3 or 4 of their best players to
stay within the rules. We sell our players every season.
I know, yeah, but Wolves had to sell their players to stay within the rules.
So did we, and we still couldn't.
Okay, so you did, but you still didn't. But Wolves sold the players to make sure they didn't break the rules, and they. Like, if you were someone at Wolves now, you could be looking, thinking, well, for 6 points, we'd have kept Neves. Like, do you get what, like, the
no, Wolves, I get what you're saying, but
shouldn't be not, there. But if you're going to have them,
either have them and be strict or just get rid of them.
Yeah,
I don't think it's very fair to say that Everton haven't attempted to. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're a fucking lunatic of a football club at the minute. But
yeah,
we've sold Richarlison, we've sold Gordon. We sold fucking Awobi, for fuck's sake. Do you know what I mean? We've sold all these players because we're hamstrung. We literally have to accept them. Yeah. But like you were saying before, Ali, if this is cheating, fucking hell. I mean, how can you cheat downwards?
Well, I'm with Simon. I think it should be, like, if you've got the money, spend it. Like, it's what we all want to see.
Yeah.
Right, so I for me personally, I kind of get the logic of why they're doing it, to try and keep.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, I get that, but you either need to be extremely strict, and I mean, like, if you go over by £1 of the amount, it needs to be like a ridiculous punishment, because it's the only way you can keep it in. Like, financial punishments for City, like, for example, that doesn't mean nothing.
It needs to,
and even points, like. Realistically, like, how many of the league titles City have won, right? Say they got a 6-point deduction every season, right? Let's just use the Everton 6-point. How many of them would have even affected their title wins?
There'd be probably 2 or 3.
Out of, like, 7. It's not a bad loss. They'd still be in the Champions League. They'd still, have all the money. They might not have had the titles, but they'd still have the hundreds of millions coming in every year. And
Tell you what I do find really strange about it all is... Why now? have they decided we're going to... Yeah. Because these FFP, PSR, whatever it is, they've been in place for 15 odd years. Are you telling me for the last 15 years, everyone has been operating within the rules and it's only this last 3 years everyone's gone mental?
Fucking shit.
It's really strange, but I mean, we could probably devote a whole podcast
I'll give you the conspiracy theory version. I now believe the Premier League are getting so pissed off because they can't do anything about cities that they're now taking out on everybody else.
Yeah, probably.
Quite possibly.
Like I always used to say, Everton are big / small enough to make an example of.
Well, the name's there, doesn't it? It doesn't matter how they perform.
We're the name, but we're not a big club, so we want to upset the apple cart.
But we're small enough to kill.
Do you know what
that's
I mean?
Why I think they've decided that they're changing rules this summer, because it's like Everton and Forest. Yeah, they're big enough names, but you know they're not where they once were. So let's make an example of them. But now all of a sudden, oh shit, we've got to punish Chelsea and Man City. We need to change this. We can't be killing our golden geese here.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll go back on to football. I say football. It's Bournemouth, Sheffield United. It wasn't a good day at the office for Dom Solanke.
I triple captained him as well, because I've got a double game week.
Well, I captained them.
But a 2-2 draw. I mean, from the highlights, it seemed like a fair result in the end. Sheffield United probably performed better than they have done most of the season. And Bournemouth, I quite enjoy watching Bournemouth. Is that weird?
Yeah, they're a good watch.
Yeah,
they played decent football, to be fair. It took him a while to get them going. I don't know. I think most people kind of thought it was harsh on Gary O'Neill, and he's showing, you know, this season at Wolves that he's a good manager. But the new owners wanted their own guy in, and yeah, to be fair, he's doing a decent job. Like you say, they're pretty entertaining to watch, actually.
Yeah.
The keeper is absolutely shite, though, by the way.
Neto.
Oh, he's fucking crap.
Yeah, I've got him in my team as well for the double game week. I thought Sheffield United and Luton at home will be so.
I know. It's bonkers, isn't it? I captained Solanke. I didn't triple captain. But
you're not a lunatic.
I'm not a lunatic.
This is just a result that literally does nothing for either team. Has absolutely no significance on anything at all, does it?
No.
I had this conversation with my mate the other day. I know they've got more points, but
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And yes, are
Sheffield United worse than Derby?
Yes.
I think so as well. Do you know why? Because Derby weren't getting hammered 9-0 and fucking whatever, they're getting beat.
Do you know what Derby tried? They might have lost, but there was games that they lost 1-0 or 2-1. You know that? I feel Sheffield United are like just. Once they go a goal down,
It's curtains, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, yeah, like you just said there, the amount of pace things they've had this season. What was after the game when they lost to Arsenal last Monday, that in 2024, Sheffield United are the fourth highest scoring team at Bramall Lane this season. Says it all, doesn't it? Their players, I think, have been a real disgrace. It's getting to the stage with them that their player of the season awards will be given to the fans or something.
Well, I'm just looking at Derby's results. Villa beat them 6-0 at Pride Park.
Yeah, Stan Petrov scored a left foot half volley from the halfway line.
Chelsea beat them 6-1. That's to be expected. Man U beat them 4-1. But then there's 1-1, 1-0, 0-0, 2-0, 2-1, 1-1. Yeah, Sheffield United are shite.
Yeah, embarrassing.
I won't bore that. Anything to add on the game? If anybody, no. Or just it's one of those games.
Dominic Solanke's a divvy.
Yeah. I'm all for that. Next up was Roy Hodgson-less Crystal Palace 1, Luton 1. I'm not going to lie, this is kind of what I expected for this game. Palace are just one of those games that they're sitting mid-table now, it doesn't matter. As me and you mentioned before the podcast, Luton's kind of got a bit of grit about them, but none of them were going to break down, you know, any barriers here. There's only so much Eze and that can do at Palace without a goal scorer.
There's just... With Luton, come on, they're not good. They're not. I refuse to believe that these are good.
They're not. They're just hard-working, aren't they?
They're just a gang of dogs, aren't they?
Yeah.
And Ross Barkley, my man Ross, is just having the season of his life. I mean, don't get me wrong, if he thinks he's getting an England team, he's really, really stupid. But go back to the preview show, and I said Barkley was coming back to us, and yous all laughed. And I was thinking, he'd fucking stroll into our team, and he still would.
Yeah.
Get a game.
So, who's the mug? but no, I mean, it was the most nailed on thing in the world that Luton was scoring in the 96th minute as well. Oh, to be honest,
the chances that Palace missed, like, to be fair, like I think the Luton keeper, that Kaminski, he's
good.
He's been really impressive, I think, this season.
There's been a few of them have impressed me, but like that Mengi's okay.
I like a Benne.
Yeah, Benne. Well.
Yeah.
I suppose Morris is all right.
Yeah,
loves to go past us.
They're a Championship team, really.
Yeah.
With a couple of players who maybe could have, you know, sort of decent Premier League careers in the right club, but they've you know, when you compare them to Burnley and Sheffield United.
Oh, they've the leagues above.
Oh God, yeah, they've got a clear identity that works. Take note, Burnley, and they will give teams a good game. It's very rare that they get a pacing, and especially at home. The problem is, as they found out, obviously, with us last week, the Arsenal, Liverpool, and a couple of other games. They've lost a lot of goals in like the last minute or two, and that's just that lack of Premier League quality in Nals, which may kill them in the end. But I personally hope they stay up, actually, because I think they've had a go. Like, they've actually had a go. They've not even done like what Norwich have done in the past, and they've come up and just gone, ah, fuck it, we'll take the money and go back down. They've at least gone, look, this may be our only, you know, Premier League season for God knows how long. Let's at least have fun and give it a proper go.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they don't stay up, because it might be a
obviously, yeah. I hope you both stay up.
But I still maintain the crap. And I still maintain that this is quite possibly the worst Premier League standard I've ever seen. There's so many bad teams. Like, so many bad teams. I'd say top four down, and the rest are crap. I'd go as far as say that. Yeah, Tottenham might sneak in. Tottenham might sneak in. All right, Man United downwards, and the rest are crap.
Did you see the Eze chance? The shot they had from that. Oh, that'd have been so fucking nice.
He's so good, that Eze. He's a diving little prick, but he's brilliant.
He needs to leave.
He's there, will. Saha. He will. Saha. He'll be there for the next 10 years as the next Wilfred Saha, won't he?
He needs to go somewhere. But don't go to like a United. He needs to jump to a Tottenham or Villa, you know, somewhere who's still going to coach as well. Like
I can see him at Tottenham. He shoots Tottenham, to be honest. I'm not going to lie.
If he's going to go somewhere, go to a club that suits the way he plays and the position that he plays in. Yeah, be sensible of your move.
Wolves 2, Fulham 1. Both teams are weird to me. They have been both kind of play decent football, but they're either brilliant or terrible. There doesn't seem to be an in-between with them. I kind of had this game down as like a 3-3 draw. the chances are there. Fulham have been good in recent weeks. And it's Gary O'Neill that's in charge of Wolves, isn't it?
Yeah, I
really like him, mate.
So do I. He speaks really well.
I think he's
a mid-table manager, though. I don't think he can go much higher. Maybe like an 8th, 9th, 10th, which is probably still mid-table, I guess, really. But I think that's his ceiling. But I like listening to him talk. I just think he's a very good... But I reckon he's probably a better coach than a manager overall. Like I could see him in a coaching setup in a top team, but just not as the main man, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. The only thing I'd say to that is this is his second season as a manager. So I think it's maybe too early to judge where his ceiling is. Like, right, I'm not saying right now you chuck him into, you know, one of the bigger jobs, but from what I've seen so far, the way he speaks as well, I think he was on Monday Night Football, wasn't he, a couple of months ago, and I think a lot of people were really impressed. Like, he's got a very very sort of analytical, tactically aware, like, brain on him, and he articulates the game really well. So, yeah I've been
well
really
educated,
impressed.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it must be painful for you to say that, like, so.
Yeah, no, oh God, it is. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not a great fan of Wolves. They're more bothered about us than we are about them. But I don't really like them. So yeah, I don't really enjoy saying this, but I can't help but be really impressed with him. I honestly think he's a really, really good manager.
Yeah, well, the fact that that's the fact.
If he leaves for the summer, then he might be the next choice. Then, si.
What's that?
I mean, when Emery leaves in the summer, he could be your next choice.
When Emery leaves, he's going nowhere, son.
Where are Wolves and Fulham sitting?
Wolves are 10th.
Yeah, Fulham.
Wolves only 2 points off a European spot.
I don't
think they'll make it, but...
Yeah, no.
Do ones. But it's like, I don't like Fulham, but I like Marco Silva. and I don't like Iwobi. So, yeah, fuck off.
You don't like Fulham. Basically, it's what you're telling me.
No, I've never been really a fan. Iwobi scored, and that'll make Chris happy. Weirdo.
I hate Fulham because I hate Tony Khan. Is that fair?
That is very fair, to be honest.
Just, but I'm impressed with how, every time I've watched them, they've been decent to watch. Even against us, I think we had them three weeks ago, maybe four. I feel like I watched them against us quite recently.
You beat them in the cup.
Cup game.
You had a league game against them where I think you won 4-3 with two really
Yeah, they were like
goals,
3-2.
So.
Two, like,
yeah.
Yeah, that was the game I watched. Yeah, they were just attacking. They were fun.
They can't defend for shit. Like.
Terrible. Yeah. Yeah, but again, they've got an ex-Rangers player in there. Never going to work. It's just, yeah, I think they're all right. I just... Leno's still terrible.
He is.
But, I mean, I'm still in shock that Willian can play because he was terrible that last year at Chelsea. He disappeared, then all of a sudden he's come back and he's like...
Oh, he's quality.
He looks like peak Chelsea Willian again.
The Willian he's playing for Fulham now is not the Willian who Arsenal signs.
No, definitely not.
It's just not the same person.
I actually forgot he went to Arsenal.
Yeah, he was terrible for Arsenal.
Actually, it wasn't until they played us, actually. I forgot they had Adama Traore as well.
Oh, speaking of divvies.
Yeah, absolute moron. Wolves aren't like turning into the new Crystal Palace, the way they're just that. They're safe all the time. And sometimes you wonder how, but...
They play well this season.
They are this year. Yeah, this year they've been... But every other year, they seem to just get results out of nowhere. I feel like they lose every game, but gain points.
They're
like mid-table Man United. Right, Arsenal. Notice my tone change talking about these divvies. I cannot wait for their bubble to bust. And it's still Arsenal. But Arsenal 2, Brentford 1. I believe this is their 8th win in a row.
Yeah.
Although Aaron Ramsdale try to kick it away, shall we say.
He's quality, isn't he?
Absolutely fucking useless. He is.
He's an arrogant little shit.
Yeah, but he's got a good personality though. This is
that's all right.
Yeah.
Fucking weapon.
I talking the game. Really good finish for Declan Rice.
It was.
Nice header. I mean, I don't know why you're one of your tallest players in the park are unmarked. But again, that's Brentford for you. And then Havertz popping up in the 85th, 86th minute, I think it was.
Shouldn't have been on the pitch.
Fair.
That was the most horrendous dive you've ever seen.
I agree.
Get him off. And he's shit as well. And the keeper should have had his header as well.
Yeah.
It literally goes straight through.
As much as I want to slag them up now, eight wins in a row is impressive.
I mean, you've just been scoring goals for fun, haven't you? And that's where we thought where a lot of us thought that he'd struggle because, geez, it wasn't scoring the goals, and obviously Nketiah wasn't scoring the goals, and everyone else seems to just score now. So
okay, but everybody they should have beat.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
Now, if they win the next eight games, I'll applaud them.
Champions.
They will, yeah. If they win their next eight games, they'll win the league.
They will not beat Man City.
I said to Carl before, they will drop points in five of their last 10 games.
Oh, I've got to have a look at their fixtures now.
That's okay. I'll tell you, before you even look at them, I'll tell you the games now. They will drop points against City.
Yeah.
Chelsea. United. Villa. Was it Spurs? Have they got Spurs as well? Did we
say? Yeah, they've got Spurs away, yeah.
And I still have a question mark over Brighton away as well.
No, they'll 100% beat Brighton away.
Yeah, Brighton aren't the...
Brighton. They aren't Brighton anymore, are they?
Yeah. What I stand by Arsenal is they're so mentally weak. And it happened just before the international break, the winter break. When they drop one point, they'll drop multiple games.
Yeah.
No, they will. Will.
And it'll all depend on what, like, so obviously the game with Chelsea that should be the weekend is obviously postponed. So we reckon that, Carl, you reckon they'll be the last week of the season, don't you?
I reckon so, yeah.
But it depends on how they are, and obviously with the European games, once they drop one point, they will drop in multiple games.
It'd just be Arsenal to beat City and get beat by Luton.
Exactly. And ultimately, that's the best thing that can happen for Liverpool. So, as a selfish point of view, right? And then get beat for Luton, and then if they lose to Luton, they'll end up like drawing their next game. And I don't mean they'll lose five games. I'm not saying
they'll just drop points.
Because once they drop one, and it, like Chris was like basically, and he's right. City and Liverpool have been pretty garbage, but the difference between teams like Liverpool and City is they can win. When they're playing like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with all due respect, I think Villa could get something from Arsenal, but if they play like yesterday, Arsenal will put about seven pastures.
Yeah. I mean, I'll get on to that when I sort of talk more about our game, but I don't think we will play like that. But also, assuming that we get past Ajax on Thursday, then our game against them will be after the first leg of the Conference League quarterfinal. So, whether that changes anything, possibly. I mean, yeah, we could go. Yeah, this is, you know, you look at this, a number of those games that you can see Arsenal dropping points. And I think the reason that probably people would think that is because history has kind of shown that until they prove that they've kind of got that mental strength, then you'll always question that. I do think signing Declan Rice, I think, has made a big difference. And I think, obviously last season, whilst not the only reason for their collapse, but I think Saliba being missing for them was a big loss in that running last season. Yeah. If you've got him and Gabriel fit for the running, that makes a difference. Raya is a much better keeper than Ramsdale.
Yeah.
They've got a better goalkeeper. Havertz, I mean, I don't think any of us are his biggest fan. It's four games in a row he's scored now. It's kind of, the system's obviously working. You know, when they beat Liverpool the other week, he played well in that game in that sort of false nine role. So he's kind of working for them. I still don't think they'll win the league. But I think they'll come a lot closer to it this season than they did last. Because whatever your feelings on Arsenal or Arteta are, the facts are they're not just winning, they're playing really well. And I get your point, Ali, that the teams that they're beating, you expect them to beat. But, you know, that's not always a given that you go and do that, is it? And they're not just beating them, they're fucking smashing them, aren't they?
No, yeah. I agree with that. But let's stop all this because it's making me sick.
Yeah, let's talk about Aaron Ramsdale.
I hate him.
I mean, it was ridiculous. And then the second half, as he made the save from Tony, which, you know, was a decent save, to be fair. And you've got to give him that great effort. But the one from the header, the way the commentators were talking about that, like he redeemed himself.
Oh,
I was watching it thinking, the only way he's redeeming is if he goes and scores the winner. Yeah. But also, that save, I'd expect any keeper to say it. I've said this so many times about Ramsdale. He's got the shade-given ability of making a good save look borderline impossible, and a borderline impossible save like make you question physics and how keepers can move like that. He's a pure camera goalkeeper.
He is. I totally agree with that. And I hate him, if I hadn't said that before.
I can't even slag him off for the mistake purely on the basis of what Alisson and Van Dijk did.
Like,
the difference is though, when Alisson Van Dijk made that mistake, it's a shock.
Yeah.
When Ramsdale did that, everyone's like, "Well, that's Ramsdale."
See, that mistake is just Arsenal. That's not Ramsdale. That's an Arsenal. And I stand by it. Be interesting. How close do you actually? We'll leave the title race talk because obviously we've got the other two teams playing later on. Brentford. I think did you mention them last week, Simon, about being in like free fall?
I think we've kind of all sort of touched on them. What I said last week is what they've got, which no one else from them downwards has.
Ivan Toney.
Someone who's going to get you goals. Tony's got a 1-2 record in the Premier League. Like that'll be fine. But
has he
when they
come back?
Yeah. He's been scoring. Yeah, since he came back. But when they lose him in the summer, they could be in trouble. But they're quite good with their recruitment.
Do you think who's going to sign up?
Chelsea.
Someone will.
It'll be Chelsea.
Yeah, it probably will be, to be honest. Yeah.
Or Man U, maybe Man U.
Yeah.
Oh, Man U and Toney. Oh, my God. I don't particularly like Toney, but I think he's a very good football player.
Very good footballer, yeah. Arrogant.
He's a fucking dickhead, isn't he?
I was asking if he scored. He scored against us.
he did win, so... Yeah, it was forgetful.
That's why I didn't realise, obviously. Because the GOAT scored in that game, so I didn't see it. I think you're right. I think they're safe, but again, they're just... I don't know. I don't know what's happened to them.
They have had a lot of injuries, like really a big lot of injuries to key players as well, which, I mean, everyone has injuries. If you're already... If you're a mid-table team...
Do you not know this podcast says you're not allowed to have injuries? I've heard just the last few weeks, so don't get used injury excuse now, Simon, please.
Nah.
I haven't been on.
No, you're safe. I don't know. It's just they're just a strange bunch, Brent.
Considering
they were the dangerous team even up until they were doing all right even without Toney. I feel they've actually got worse since he's come back. It's like they're now reliant on him.
Yeah. It's either him or Morpé.
they've had Morpé's because Remo's been out, hasn't he, for a long time. Yeah,
fair point as well. We'll see. I mean, the good thing is they're safe this season. A good thing for them, anyway. They're safe this season. One of the bottom four/five, if we throw Everton in there, if there's a point deduction, are in. Nobody else is really going to drop that catastrophically.
No.
Right, on to Sunday, Simon. I've never seen this result. I could have seen you losing, but I definitely didn't see this coming. Aston Villa 0, Tottenham Hotspur 4.
Yeah. It was bad. the first half... We changed our system. We went to a back five, back three, slash back five with wing backs, which we've not done before this season. And obviously the reason for that was to nullify Tottenham's attack, which in the first half we did. But the problem was it really knackered us in terms of going forwards. Leon Bailey really struggled in the role of like being a sort of proper out and out centre forward in the two up top. Watkins had a really, really poor day as well. We didn't do an awful lot in the first half going forward. There was like a 5-10 minute period where Luiz just put the ball over the top of Romero about 4 or 5 times for Watkins to run onto. And he got onto it and just seemed to slow up for some reason and tried to like wait for people to come join him or cut in, whereas every other game this season he's just gone onto that and just smashed him with his left foot. So he had an off day, as did pretty much everyone. It was just the wrong day for everyone to not turn up. And then, but at half time, you're looking, thinking, you know, there's not been an awful lot in it. As I say, we nullified them, but blunted ourselves. And you saw, okay, maybe, you know, obviously that was the plan, and you get to maybe 65, 70 minutes and then change it up. But we didn't manage to get there with two early quick fire goals, really, really poor defending for both of them. The second one in particular, obviously, you know, Konsa loses the ball. And I was just watching the Monday Night Football tonight before the game started, and they were talking about looking at that game. And to be fair, like, Carragher made like a really good point when he was showing that second ball with Konsa. As he's dribbling the ball out, he's looking for the sort of box midfield passes that we've had all season, but it just wasn't there. He's looking for a pass that we've been doing all season that wasn't there, and he gets caught, and then, you know, 2-0, the game's kind of gone there. We get the red card, which, I mean, for me, I don't think that's a red card. It's a poor challenge, it's petulant, but it's yellow for me. The reaction of the bench, I think, is probably turned it into a red. I don't think it would have made any difference had McGinn stayed on in this particular game. But the problem is he's going to be suspended for 3 games unless they appeal it and get it overturned. So that's the killer with that one. And then the, you know, third and fourth goals, it kind of, obviously, it just makes the scoreline look even more horrific with, you know, 2 goals in stoppage time. Because after we went down to 10 minutes, there was like a sort of 5-10 minute period where we had a bit of a rally without ever looking like we were really going to do anything. And yeah, as I say, it was just one of those bad days where just every single player had an off day. And Tottenham, you know, they got to give credit to them. The second half, they really punished us. James Maddison, really good player, absolute prick. Fucking hate the little tosser.
Me too.
But I'd love him to play for us. He's a really good player. And, you know, you got to hold your hands up. We got done. And it happens, but, you know, we're not going to win every game. You know, the big key thing is to, you know, kind of recover quickly this weekend, because obviously Tottenham now have drawn that the gap back to 2 points from us with the game in hand. The game in hand is at Chelsea, but they always lose. That does please me a little bit. But there's 10 games to go. We're going to drop points. Tottenham are going to drop points. So just kind of waiting. There's still an awful lot to play for. But yeah, yesterday, you can't chalk it up. Try and get a positive out of it. It was just a bad day all around for us.
Carl, what's your before I bring my thoughts on it?
Yeah, I agree with. Please don't actually put this out, but I do agree with Jamie Carragher there. It seemed like the Villa players were looking for a pass that wasn't there quite a lot. And you were right about Bale. I thought he was awful. Ollie Watkins looked disinterested for the first time ever, which was a bit odd. The sending off, it was childish. You've got the ball, I'll just boot you up in the air. It was slightly harsh, but it was John McGinn, so I'm not asked. I hate Tottenham. I hate Maddison, but yeah, I don't know. I can't help but like Tino Werner for some reason. Maybe I just feel sorry for him. Maybe because I just feel sorry for him. I don't know. Because the smile on his face when he scored, I was like, oh, bless him.
I took my brother. He couldn't go to the game yesterday, so I took one of my nephews. And at the end of the game, he says, I don't know what's more embarrassing, that we've lost 4-0 on that team of Werner scores, and my nephew's like 12.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why I just seem to... Maybe I just like the underdog, which says a lot about my personality. I couldn't have summed it up better. You just had a really bad day, and it happens. When you look at the, when you discuss the team selection there, I think the midfield's slightly negative, with three.
The setup was negative, really.
Yeah. Your three midfielders are not. They're not going to get you. You know, I don't know. It's just really strange. I understand why you've done it.
I don't.
No one do. Because Porro and Zoghi get up and down. And he said, well, we'll go with Cash and Dinya going up and down.
It worked in the first half.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it did work in the first. And I suspect, say, he got to, as I say, 60 and 70 minutes, still at 0-0.
It might have been a bit different. Yeah.
I think he would have changed it, but...
You're not a defensive team, Si.
No.
Yeah, that I'm with you. Like, I'm kind of with both of you.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, I get it to an extent because it did work. But at the same time, like, we are fourth. Like, we beat Man City and Arsenal playing the 4-4-2.
Not by playing like that.
Why did we change for fucking Tottenham? Like... I did find that odd. But...
It's just with the what I was going to say about the three midfielders. I'm not saying they're not attacking, but the three hard working midfielders, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
McGinn will go and get the ball. Douglas Luiz will go and get the ball. Tielemans not so much because he's a lazy prick. But he can.
But Tielemans won't work in a formation like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And he rightly got hooked because he was terrible.
McGinn's been great for the last year because he's not been playing that role.
Yeah.
You know, he's been playing basically like, and Dougie's been arguably one of the best midfielders in the league. But again, doing what he got.
100%, yeah.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I can't believe how much he's missed Tyrone Mings.
I disagree with that, you know. I really do disagree with that.
By a mile, right? But Konsa needs instruction. Konsa can't be the one giving out instructions.
Yeah, that long lay's a bit of a wild cat, isn't he?
It's a funny one, like, because I thought that we... But obviously, at the start of the season, when we did our pre-season predictions, I think I put us in fifth. And then, the first game of the season, Mings gets that injury. And after that, and then Buendia had his season-ending injury as well. So after that, I kind of thought, I thought the Mings one was really, really going to affect us. And overall, it hasn't. But there are certain games where, like you say, it's just that bit of leadership and organisation at the back. I mean, Cons and Torres have been like excellent for the majority of the season. But Mings has certain... attributes that they just don't naturally have, and I get your point.
Not physical. I'm not giving up. I think both Torres and Cons are better defenders.
Oh God, gotcha. I would agree. Yeah. But I mean, obviously we've got very different opinions on the qualities of Tyrone Mings.
Oh, 100%.
But I will agree, Torres and Cons are better defenders. But there are things that Mings has that they just not have.
Cons reminds me of Kanati. He's got
That's fair shout.
But when Kanati's next to Van Dijk, Kanati might be the greatest defender in the world.
Hmm.
Right.
Well, I personally think that Konsa and Stone should be England's two centre-backs, but that's just me.
I mean, anybody. Like, I firmly believe, like, Joe Gomez's form this year, he should be in that squad comfortably as well.
No, thank you.
Gomez has been phenomenal this year.
What about Brantwaite from us?
I've been impressed with him. I think it's probably a year too soon.
Tarkowski,
in terms of this summer,
apart from, don't let someone turn him in the box. But Tarkowski's been really good this year, to be fair.
Well, defensively, you have been, as we said, you've got the fourth best defensive record in the league.
Yeah,
you've got good defenders. I mean, Branthwaite, he's
he'll
someone.
Get up. He'll get up.
He's
Yeah. Let's call a spade a spade. Say he's going.
Yeah. I didn't want to deliver it as brutal.
Yeah. We all know we're not soft.
Anyway.
Yeah.
well. Enough of like dissecting Villa.
Out of interest, who do you two think? Because like, let's be honest, Man U are out of the top. Man U are not finishing fourth. It's between us and Tottenham. Where? How do you two see it?
Villa for me.
I'm going to stick with Villa, Simon, just purely because I stand by that you've got the third best squad in the league.
I said Villa ages ago.
I think you've got the third best manager. I stand by it. You're the third best team in the league.
Not the second best manager, according to me, mate.
I mean, I wouldn't be against anybody telling me Emery's a better manager than Pep Guardiola. Again, I will. To me.
Even though I couldn't go that far. I love Emery.
I still stand by Pep could not manage, and he'll never do it, so it's a stupid... I know it's a stupid argument, but Pep couldn't manage a team who's not got loads of money. Pep cannot do what Klopp does with Liverpool. Cannot do it.
I don't think Klopp could have done what Guardiola's done with City.
Probably not.
I agree, but I think any of our assistant managers could have, because they'd be willing to spend money.
But, I mean... But with the Emery thing, I was banging Emery's drum long before he went to Arsenal. I think he's a... I hate that use of God. I've said this ever since.
Yeah.
He's a top manager. And he's just a nice... He seems like a nice fella as well.
Honestly.
He's lovely as well.
But, I'm going to be, like, really biased against him as well. But I love how after... I don't know if any of you saw our dog of a game against Ajax on Thursday night. The referee in that game, like, Cons got sent off for us, and Ajax had a player sent off, like, both two yellow cards. None of those four things that happened were yellow card offences. Like, the referee was horrific. And the interview after the game was clearly trying to get Emery to, like, react to the referee. And he was just like, look, I make mistakes, the players make mistakes, the refs make mistakes, I accept it. And I've never seen him come out. Lay into a referee.
He's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he will snap at one point, because Klopp was nice at one point as well. Then he became a complete prick. But, I mean, it'll happen. And I just think, you know, he's only just a year and a half.
Yeah. Even
a year and a half into his Villa thing. If he gets to... I mean, you're probably ahead of where he should be.
Oh, God, yeah.
But also in a better position than Newcastle, as in...
Yeah,
like, you've not had to sign players. You're doing it without Bundia. You're doing it without your captain, Mings. You don't have many of these days. Spurs are a bit... I don't know. I mean, that's probably Spurs' best performance that I've seen them. It wasn't the total package. Mm. They seem to be... I don't know. They're clicking at the right... That might be the only thing. They might be clicking at the right time.
I'm still backing us. But you say that Tottenham, obviously they were really good, especially second half yesterday. The few sort of 3-4 weeks before that, they'd not been playing well. They kind of like got a few decent results, but there was a number of games they could have gone against. I back us to finish above them, because I do think we are better than them. My only concern is if we keep progressing the Conference League. Yeah. Because of the amount of injuries you've had, I don't think we've got the squads that can cope with both of them. So it's whether he prioritises one over the other.
That's why I was very surprised you didn't get one or two players in January. Try and reshuffle stuff somehow.
No one wanted to buy anyone, though. Did they?
Yeah, this all...
No, well, I only found out two months ago I came back to Spurs, like, 2 weeks ago. I thought nobody signed anybody, but that's the only thing. But... Again, with the financial fair play,
that was the reason that we couldn't. Yeah, we can't.
And I get it, but I just wish they could have maybe even like a loan, you know, maybe got rid of a couple of players on loan and like youth or players, and I don't know. There might have been a way to wrangle. Like Emery had a connection somewhere to get just a bit of freshness in, because, like, as you say about Watkins being like disinterested, you said Carl, or just he was off it. The guy must be knackered.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, he's as close a player I've seen to like Bobby Firmino. Like, and he covers so much distance. As you say, I don't know how many times Villa, if they're under the cosh or there's just nothing going on, they'll just pop a 40-yard ball over the corner. And And like defenders will jog back because they'll be like, ah, nobody will chase that. Next thing they know, Ollie Watkins is sprinting down and he's got all the time. Like, it's like you'll never find a striker who work. That's why you can never criticise him for not scoring goals, because he's so tired.
But he does now. That's the thing.
Yeah, but I mean, he's almost like a purple patch striker. He's one of those players, and like he'll score like 10 goals in 5 games. And then he might have 5 games where he only score 3 goals. But
yeah.
He's just, he does miss a lot of chances. And it's fine, because, like, I mean, we've got somebody very similar who, they just, when they work like that, you don't care enough. Because know it'll come, because they deserve it. And do you know what? Like, having, like, we'll come on to the title race as well, but having, like, a three-horse title race, a two, if you can throw Man United if you want, like, a three for the fourth place spot. Do you know what I mean? This is what we want. Like, regardless of the standard, I agree with you, Carol, the standard of the Premier League's fairly crap, right? Mm-hmm. But if you've got all these races, at least it makes the product worth watching.
Yeah, I agree with that, but it's only got stuff happening because the teams are shit.
That's it. Better have lots of shit teams in competitive than just be...
Oh, I get what you mean.
Would you rather we were like the Bundesliga and it's just one team and everybody else is the whole league shit? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least we've got some mediocre teams. Brighton 1, Forest 0. Blah. That's... like Forest or shit. Brighton are the team that this podcast fell in love with. See what happens when I leave the podcast.
But I don't recognise any one of Brighton's players anymore, to be honest. I don't even know who they are.
To be fair, like half the time I look at that Brighton team, I don't recognise half their players' names. It's a never ending cast of new players from a different part of the world, isn't that Brighton?
Who the hell's Mulder?
Oh, talking of it, so just you know what I was saying about that McGinn's never a red card. The fact that his challenge was a fucking yellow, and they looked and then decided to keep it a yellow,
and then he subbed them.
Yeah, I mean that was a shocking challenge. Yeah, how the hell have they looked at that and gone? So hang on, let's have a look at this. So he launched himself through the air with both feet and catches him with his studs. Yeah, yellow cards. You made the right call.
Exactly.
Fucking madness that was.
It's every week now, isn't it?
Oh, gotcha.
Prediction: Chelsea are now 3-1 up in Newcastle.
Oh, Dave.
Mudrick scored as well, just to...
Oh, my word.
Ty's best player.
Noble kid.
Yeah, so like Brighton are still in Europe, so
not for long.
Like they've made it. Like their fans will not be too.
Like
this is like we spoke about this before. Like again, it's a different. It sounds really arrogant, but it's a different level of fandom for me than it is for even for yourself, Ty. Like we've mentioned, like those runs in Europe are almost more important as long as you're not relegated. Like you would take 17th in the league.
Oh,
and like
a final
in Europe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like with Brighton, it's their first ever time in Europe, isn't it? And
yeah,
well, and the fact is as well, they're still eighth. Like as we were talking, like Newcastle overachieved last season. Brighton finished in sixth last season was a huge overachievement. But fair play to them. They've had like a nice few days out in Europe. Obviously they're not going to have any more after the first leg. For Brighton to be sitting eighth and had a Europa League campaign, you'll take that all day, won't you, if you're a Brighton fan?
Yeah, but it's a sort of perfect segue to the next game of teams that need to stay in lane, to be honest. And they really do. Fuck, they're a mess of a club then. The seventh in the league in the quarters or thereabouts in the Europa, and they want Moyes sacked.
That's
your West Ham fucking United. You're barely a Premier League team. They're not the Wardy. I mean, they've spent some years down in the Championship. And you're telling me that they're better than David Moyes? Give me a break.
See, at this point, I'm not like, again, look, the result doesn't matter. West Ham 2, Burnley 2. Would you not just Moyes at the end? Would you not just leave? Like,
why? I don't understand why he didn't leave at the end of last season, having won the Conference League. Why not go out
on a high?
Like, with your, yeah, with your stock as high as ever going to be at that football club.
Yeah. Because
I don't understand it.
Yeah, at that stage, you could pretty much, not any job, obviously, because you're not going to get like the top, but you could get like
a Premier League job.
Say Ange didn't work out for Spurs.
He would be lying. No way. No way.
He would be.
Boys would not get the top job.
No, yeah, I've got to agree. I think he's a good manager, but there's no way Tottenham would have gone for David Moyes.
Oh, I disagree. I mean, to be fair, after the job Poch has done, he might be in job line for the Chelsea job.
Save Moyes at the end of last season when they've won that, he walks away.
That's what I mean. After
he probably would have got the Wolves job when Lopetegui
left. Yeah, he would have. That's a good shout, that actually. He would have got that job.
Because you look now, say if he leaves at the end of this season.
Where's he going?
Where's he getting a Premier League job?
Unless he comes home.
If you stay up, you're not getting rid of Deitch. That's
I don't think we can afford to. I think we're stuck with him, whether it's right or wrong. But Moyes said in a press conference he's been offered a new deal.
Oh, no, yes.
Should have took the Celtic job.
That might be a shout, because Brendan's not going to last long.
No, he's not. Even if Celtic win the league this year, I think Brendan goes.
I think he does as well. I think it was absolutely stupid that he went back anyway. But it's fucking hilarious.
I don't know what he expected to get, but like Moyes has always said, he wanted to manage Celtic.
He played for them. Didn't he play for them?
Yeah. Sure he did.
If
he didn't, he's a fan. I knew that. But like as you see, he could have went out, took some time, and then. Or just take the Celtic job and just.
It's a wee bit. Things.
Yeah. I mean, you were probably going to win something and it gets you back. I don't know. It's just. I always feel like West Ham have treated him like shit for years. Like, he single handed kept him up that year. They sacked. Yeah. They brought in somebody else who messed up. They brought him back.
Pellegrini.
Yeah. That's who it was, yeah. He gets them in a decent position in the league. He then wins Europe with them, and they're still not happy with him. Like,
I just don't get it. The fucking West Ham United. I'm sorry, the West Ham fucking United. They're nothing. Yeah.
They've got the West Ham way, though.
They won the World Cup, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I'm totally with you. They're seventh. I mean, looking at the six teams above them, who the hell do they think they should be finishing above out of them six when you look at the squads of them six? I mean, maybe Man U.
Maybe Man U
are shit.
Like, they're above everybody they should be ahead of.
Yeah.
And you could argue West...
Like, they shouldn't be above Chelsea, let's face it.
Newcastle and Chelsea. But everybody else, you're like, well, come on, they're not going to be ahead of Arsenal, they're not going to be ahead of Liverpool, they're not going to be ahead of City, right? So you're then talking your Villas, Spurs and hangy. I mean, you could maybe...
They're probably annoyed at the way we've overtaken them in like...
Possibly, yes.
As well, the year Spurs have had with the new manager and... Right? But again, like the infrastructure in both those clubs was already better than what West Ham had. Like, West Ham overachieved under... Like, this is similar, again, to what Everton were doing.
Yeah.
Like, Everton shouldn't be finishing fourth and fifth and sixth every year for about 4 years.
Longer.
But yeah, but like they just shouldn't have been, like, realistically. But what Moyes does very well is he gets the strengths of average players and he plays to them.
No, do you know what Moyes does, and he does it really well? He beats the teams that he should very convincingly.
Yes. Yeah.
He'll go up against, let's plug, Liverpool out the sky. You know what?
He's very
goes to Anfield and absolutely shits the bed every single time. I've watched it every single time.
Do you know what though? This this was my point about Emery in this game. It's because that's what David Moyes would do.
Yeah.
He would go to pitch and try. He would try and rather than beat them playing his way, which works, he'll counter attack what they're doing.
Yeah. Correct.
The point that you said there, Carl, about what he did so well at Everton is exactly that. He beat the teams that Everton like should and were capable of beating. Like he would win those games.
We would batter yeah. like the Fulhams, the Blackburns, the whoever it was, Norwich, Fulham, etc.
No one would be surprised if at that period, if any of those games, say like Fulham or Blackburn had won a game against them, like you go, well, maybe didn't see that coming, but it wouldn't be like a huge shock.
Yeah.
Because, exactly. But you didn't, that, yeah, you're right. That's a really good point, actually, yeah. about Moyes.
To be fair, though, I did have 11 years of it, so.
Yeah.
Moyes is a solid manager. You know what you're getting with him. You know your players are going to be fit.
You'll get no argument from me. I mean, yeah. I think his handling of us after he left was a bit to be desired, but he stabilised our club, and let's face it, it's been a fucking basket case ever since.
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You sometimes wonder what United would have been like if they actually just gave him time to actually. But I mean, he was on nothing.
He was never going to get any kind of time. I mean,
the thing is, they've done that deliberate as well, so that they could know that it's worked since then either. But it's almost like the manager's going to replace Klopp. Like, doesn't matter who it is, it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's like Emery with Wenger.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
you almost
Emery was onto a loser, as good as he wasn't even that bad at Arsenal.
He's got better stats than most of the ones since.
And that's what I mean.
Ian Wright on them and like football. He actually made a good point. He said that the squad of players that he's got at Villa now is better than the one that he inherited at Arsenal. That was not 100%. A great team that he took over at Arsenal.
No.
Alex Iwobi.
Oh God.
Anyway,
and Burnley are just ridiculous, aren't they? Waste of time. Them coming up, they've been one of the biggest disappointments for me this season. Not that I expect them to be great, but because they were so good in the Championship and they were so built up. Like everyone, including us.
All of us.
Yeah. We all sucked in. Everyone thought, Burnley, they'll probably be okay. They've been. They've been as bad as Sheffield United. They're on the same points, aren't they? Yeah, it's been as bad as Sheffield United's been.
I mean.
They just haven't quite given up as much as some of their players appear to give a shit.
It's like what you said before, so your little passive aggressive comment, which was highly amusing. They've got no idea. They've got a sort of identity of being this gung ho team with Nathan Redmond in the team. I mean, it's not really going to work, is it?
No.
The company will not admit defeat with this, so will he? He's clearly not going to do it now.
He started blaming refereeing decisions. It might be in the game last week. There's a game a couple of weeks ago. I was watching his Instagram match of the day, and he was going back over like decisions that he perceives have gone against them from games like back in November. And when your managers start doing that, it's panic station, isn't it?
But they won't sack him now.
We'd be pointless. No, it'd be pointless.
Yeah, they'd be as well keeping on for the Championship and doing it all over again.
And hope that he's learned his fucking lesson. Next time they're back up.
I mean, the keeper doesn't help.
He's dreadful, isn't he?
I don't understand why people are shocked that he's dreadful. Oh, we had a good under-21 tournament. Sandro Ramirez got player of the tournament in the under-21 tournament. And you'd all seen Sandro Ramirez for Everton, or did you even remember him?
I've no idea who you're on about.
please put him in YouTube. And just laugh your cock off. He was fucking shite.
Oh, dear. Right, last game of this weekend then. Well, apart from the one tonight. The last game of the weekend. Liverpool 1, City 1. A complete game of two halves, fair to say?
Yes.
Liverpool kind of just, not shat the bed, but just showed that they were missing like their first team players, and City kind of took the game to us. And then, I mean, they got their goal through a cleverly taken corner.
Yeah.
And also,
that was really good corner, that.
Yeah, it was. It was good. It was clever. I mean, it should have been defended better. I thought Kelleher should have done better.
Oh, thank you very much, Ali. Thank you.
I'm not going to slag him too much.
I thought it was... I'm sorry. I'm glad you said that. I thought it was horrendous goalkeeping, to be honest.
In fairness, I didn't think it was horrendous goalkeeping until I'd watched it two or three times.
Yeah. No, as soon as I seen it, I went, he's got to do better there. He's got to do better there.
I mean, I thought Karate should have done better. They kind of just walked away. Like, they were fooled by that one walk. But, you know, fair play to City. This is why City are champions. It's why this, especially this stage of the season. But again, half-time, whatever was said, City shat the bed. Like,
I thought they were poor.
They were, like I'm not going to slip. Like, Diaz misses three gilt-edged chances in that second.
Yeah.
But I also believe he was probably our best attacking player. Like, yeah, he was determined to win this game. Like, he was on it. It was a stonewall penalty. I don't think there's any argument, surely.
I thought it was a pen. And that's me.
Well, I don't know. I thought Nunes kicked Edison. Oh, that is a great fucking stonewall penalty, mate.
I don't think the last one was a penalty. I don't know if you...
I actually do.
I can
see... If it was given, even against me, I wouldn't be against it, but...
No, if that's against Everton, I am bouncing up and
down. Everybody else, I don't seem to be bothered, but I don't know. Don't know if it's just me.
If it's given, it's not being overturned as well. Yes, like, that's
the way I look at it, Carl.
Yeah. What really made me laugh was fucking that waste of space, Mike Dean. He's going, it's a penalty. He'll be sent to the screen. He'll be sent to the screen. It's a penalty. Then as soon as VAR said no, he's like, there's our penalty. He's caught. He gets the ball first, just a little forward through. He's like,
Klopp's greatest line at the end was, what a great addition to Sky, Mike Dean is. love that petulance from him.
But the thing was that got me with that pen is obviously Gary Neville's reaction. As soon as he done it, he went, like he does. And Gary Neville, why does he just come out and go, I think that was a pen, but he won't. He'll just go, he might be in trouble here. Yeah. Just say it, Gary. No one's asked. You know what I mean? But they were never going to give that pen, though. Never in a million years. No one wanted that on their head. Don't give it.
Like, there's not a chance they can have Liverpool win the 97th minute again, the second.
or to fuck over City in the 97th minute.
Absolutely.
So let's keep them both happy and just go forget it.
But I just, do you know what, that second half performance, like, I don't know what, like, we obviously turned it on and we were all over them, but City at Anfield, and it kind of worried me during the week. Kyle Walker did a podcast with Rio Ferdinand talking about how they just don't win at Anfield.
And the only game they've won there in the last like 10 years was when there was no crowds, the COVID season. Well,
That's it, yeah.
It was like 4-1 as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that was the one Manny got sent off, like after...
No, that was at the end.
That was at the end,
I thought that was that one. I don't know, it was a really fun second half. They had a few, like, just end-to-end. It was just mad. Mm. I do believe the biggest mistake made in the whole game, Klopp, I don't know why he took Nunes off.
Ian Light was saying that on the telly tonight. He's saying that why, especially at home, you keep him on. It's a funny one, Nunes, isn't he? Like, I do actually really like him, and I think what he needs is just a proper like individual coaching and like just. There's so much good about him. If you can just
leave him,
fine tune.
Just leave him. I can't, honestly, I can't tell you my love for him enough. Like, he's a lunatic. And the only thing I would like him to do is just learn the offside rule.
That is the only thing.
Because, like, if he misses 15 one-on-ones, right, in a game, we will win games regardless. Mm. Because we are a better team with him in that team than without. Because he just doesn't... He must be, like, mentally, he might be the most arrogant person in the world. Because the amount of times he gets caught offside, or he misses open goals, the positions he finds himself in, every time. Like, I would like to know how many shots on target he's had this, or just shots this season he's had. Because he's just... he's relentless. Like, it's just unbelievable what he does. And yeah, he's fast. Like, it's ridiculous how fast he is.
And that, but that's what I mean in terms of just like little fine tuning, yeah, in terms of like just timing of the runs. But I mean, funny enough, again, Ian Wright tonight was sort of going through a few clips and was like kind of showing there's a number of times where like he makes the movements for a run. It's like where the midfielder's got the ball and you're thinking, like, surely this pass is going in for Nunes and it doesn't come.
Yeah.
And then they'll play it to him where it looks like he's not on at all. And it's like he was kind of saying, like Wright was saying when he was playing, like he'd tell his midfielders, if you get the ball in a certain area, don't even look, just fucking put it over and I'll be on it. You know Nunes will, but yeah, I do quite. He's good fun. As you say, the arrogance of him, the chances that he misses, and then the goal he scores against Brentford the other week. It's right.
Was that the chance?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see Michael Owen's tweet after it, basically slagging him off for attempting it?
Oh, my word.
Like Michael Owen, basically, like the most Michael Owen tweet ever. It was like, whilst it was a very impressive finish, he just shouldn't be doing that. He needs to learn to take an extra touch, go around the goalkeeper and tap it in.
He needs to spend more time throwing apples into a bin.
Like, what is going on? Like, he's just scored, like that is the arrogance of the man, though. Like, even, like, the goals against Newcastle, you know, like, the...
Right, the
goal just last week as well, you know, the one he curls in Europe. Like, he's just not a tapping guy. He's just not one of those. Kevin De Bruyne, petulance? What?
So the way you took him off?
Yeah, that's an odd one.
Do you know what? Yeah. As soon as he went off, my confidence in the game went up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's always a worry when a player like De Bruyne, it sounds stupid to say because obviously he's so good, yeah, but like, he can make something happen out of nothing. And once he went off, I feel they were then just relying on like that pace. Mm-hmm. But no, I wasn't worried. Right, so the three teams, obviously Liverpool and Arsenal joint top. City are a point behind, I believe, all matched on points now, on games played. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we thinking? City's to lose, take it. I'm guessing we're all kind of...
No, yes. I think Liverpool will win it.
I mean, I think we will too, but City are definitely favourites, surely still.
No. I honestly... I've never seen Sutton like this. Yous will be the personified Devil's Club after this season.
It does feel like it feels magical. It just feels like it's very...
whoa. Who said magical?
Well, you're saying devilish, you know, so it's still a magic of sorts.
Devil's Club is not a compliment.
It's like, I'm for it. Like, I'll sell my soul for it. Like, Christian, Sai and Dave were talking last week about not taking titles of City. I'll take every single title. Finish the point behind them.
Right. As long... Oh, no. I don't know.
Come on.
Like I said before we started recording, this could be a horrible, horrible end to a season for me. If we play Liverpool the second to last league game, yous could be possibly going for the title and yous could possibly relegate us.
Imagine.
I honestly believe I'll throw myself in the mirror.
Will you come to the
parade with bricks in my pocket?
For me, I'm still saying City.
I mean, I fucking hope so, but I just...
I think it will. I think Liverpool... I think there's too many injuries that I think it will eventually catch them out.
None now. We just need one to come back.
Who's beating them? Who are beating them? The only one I'm looking at is fucking yous.
United worry me. And
behave.
It's just one of those games. It's just...
He's beating them. But at this point in the season, when you get to it, it's not even the case of necessarily who's beating them. It's just like who can take 8 points off them.
Do you know why
who's taking a point off them then?
Okay, do you know why I'm so confident? right? And it's what everybody's saying. We've been shit.
Yeah, as soon as you turn it up, it's fucking curtains, isn't it?
We have to turn it on at some point. We can't keep doing it. Like, Salah's just back for injury. Szoboszlai's just back for injury. Nunes was injured for a couple of weeks. Jota's due back. Trent's due back. Alisson's due back.
Just like, looking at their fixtures, the away games they've got in the league, they've got Man U away, Fulham away, West Ham away.
They're all wins.
And us away. I could see them like drawing like at least one of those games.
It'll be Villa Park that they'll lose or draw, I think.
Do you know, like, I'm kind of a bit with Ali, and I don't really understand why, but it would not surprise me if they drew at Old Trafford. It really wouldn't. I know that sounds mental. Look, I know it sounds mental.
So,
but do you remember, right at the beginning of last season, like Man U, they lost at home to Brighton. They got battled away at Brentford. Liverpool off the park and beat them.
Yeah, we drew with United earlier on the season, did we not?
Oh, that was one dull game as well.
Yeah, you can't. They can strangle a game.
I'm telling you right now, we beat Brighton, we beat Sheffield United. I could see us drawing with United. We'll beat Palace, we'll beat Fulham, we'll beat West Ham, we'll beat Spurs, we'll beat Villa, we'll beat Wolves.
I mean, at the start of the season, when we did our pre-season pod, I had City first, and I didn't have Liverpool second, and I think that's where it'll go.
Did you?
I did, yeah. And I think quite a few people sort of mocked me for putting Liverpool second.
I did, because I had them top.
Yeah.
I had them four. But I had United third, so what the fuck do I know?
I think I had my new four, to be fair, as well. I just think... You just can't look past City. Like, they do it all the time. They're just like they're in their modes. I think he'll be close. Like, I think he's going to the last game of the season, and I think he's going to the last two or three games between all three of them. To be honest, I actually think Arsenal. I don't see them doing a complete bottle job like they did last season. I think they'll finish third, but I think that top three. Come the end of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if there's only 5 points between that top three.
Well, how many points do you reckon there needs to be a gap before you class us out of it?
Class Liverpool out of it?
No, any of the three. Like, how many points behind?
Like five or six.
I think, yeah. So there's 10 games to go now. Say if you get to the last six games and one team was... If one team was 5 points behind with six games to go,
I think that's done.
So on that, Arsenal are out of it by the end of April then, with three games to go, and that's at a maximum.
Yeah.
But by the time Chris
is having convulsions somewhere,
Arsenal are out of the league on the points basis that you guys are saying.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd love them. It won't happen, but I want them to beat City.
I don't think they will.
Because of benefits.
I don't think they will, to be honest.
I don't either. But, I mean, the two teams who are going to have a say in the title race are the two teams fighting for top four.
Yeah. Because we play all three.
Yeah.
Play all three of them, yeah.
We've got them back-to-back. City have got them... decent gap, and so have Arsenal. I know we're saying about Brighton, right? But the run of Brighton away, Villa home, Wolves away, and Spurs away. Like, no,
that's for Arsenal.
Run at the end of the season. That's Arsenal's four games after.
Yeah. Arsenal have got the worst run in, haven't they? Really?
Yeah.
Arsenal, bar Luton, right? Arsenal are more than capable of dropping points in every game.
Apart from the last game of the season.
They're not, but again, they're playing a Sean Dyche side last game of the season. And if yous need a point, that is going to be a honking, honking game for them.
For everyone involved, to be honest.
Talk Sports, I listened to Talk Sport today, right? I was sick of listening to music in advance. I was like, Kim, I'll put Talk Sport on. and lasted 20 minutes. They were talking about Arsenal being commanding and scary in the tunnel, that they're beating teams in the tunnel.
What?
I'm not being funny, but if you tell me a player is beaten by looking at Arsenal in the tunnel because they've now got tall players, if you're looking at Ben White and start to worry about football, then you do not belong in the Premier League.
No, you just look at Ben White and think, fucking hell, Ben is almost nice this time of year, doesn't it? Yeah. But you can't take nothing away from them, unfortunately. I mean, I don't like them as much as the next person, which is odd, because when I was growing up, I used to really like them.
Same.
They're just insufferable little pricks now.
Fans, it's not the players.
No, because I like some of them. I like Odegaard. That's probably it.
I like Declan Rice. That's about it.
Oh, no, I don't like Rice. Fuck that.
But
the fans are insufferable, to be fair.
Until they can, Simon made a good point earlier, until they can prove me wrong, Arsenal will always be Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they have improved, the last 4 years have improved year on year.
Yeah, they have.
The improvement, if they did that again this year, then they win it. But for me, it's City, Liverpool, Arsenal. That's obviously the top three.
It's Liverpool, City, Arsenal for me.
All three of them, you could make a case for all three of them, I think, this season. Because they haven't played, they've all, done really well, obviously. That's why they're fighting for the title. And like you said, at least it's a bit more competitive and entertaining, from a neutral point of view. Because you look the last fucking 5-6 years, it's basically been Liverpool giving City a run for their money, except for 1 year where they actually won it. But
yeah.
Every other year it's just been City, so yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end, chaps.
Newcastle got beat 3-2.
3-2 in the end.
Yeah.
Oh, poor David.
he loves Chelsea as well, doesn't he?
I think that's twice this season Mudrick has scored a winning goal against them.
Jacob Murphy in the 90th minute for the Isaac's goal was quite good.
It was. Yeah, I saw that.
Right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure being back.
I think it's having you back.
Ditto, shockingly enough.
I know, you as well, guys. Could you have a team? What a team. That's right, Simon, see if I can remember how to do this. Do you want to let everybody know where they can find you and anything you are working on?
Yeah, it's at Sio Egan on Twitter, and the Hulkcast podcast. We've got a couple of things in the pipeline, but I don't want to say too much in case it doesn't happen. So,
just keep an eye out. Carol, what about yourself? What about, how's the Dictionary Dean Corner coming along?
Yeah, cheers, mate. Yeah, it's at Dictionary Dean. I did finish the A to Z of articles. I did start the players, and I'm up to C, but obviously parental duties do put paper at sometimes. But my letter C, I'm trying to make it like a funny sort of thing, because me B was Ibrahim Abakayoko, so that was quite amazing to do.
Championship manager legends, him, wasn't they?
Absolutely.
Exactly. And a hashtag CM9798, and all Dave's followers were loving it. So I'm doing that again. I'll probably get some time this week, to be fair.
I love a player with a good name. Bakayoko was one of the best.
Yes. And he was a championship manager legend.
Yeah.
And he was absolutely dog shit for us.
I feel that could be a running theme of this one as well for you.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. you can find us at Man the Post on all your social media platforms, and make sure to like, rate, subscribe all the shows. Kissing the Gang, I shall out every Friday, and I'm sure Dave will be back next week, so you don't have to suffer my dulcet tones host. But thank you, gentlemen, for joining me.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you at home for listening, and always remember, keep your man in the post. You are the stumble, you are the animal, you are the leader.
Yours now, go out and take it all. You are the brightest star.